Turn with me, if you will, to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. And again, I want to express my delight of being here with you this evening to share in the ministry of the Word of God. Romans chapter 5, beginning at verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his own love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement or reconciliation. And God will add a blessing to the reading of his precious word. I'd like to pick up from where we left off this morning in the report. I made mention that we are seeking to use every available means of communicating the living word to dying men. There was a time when we had 13 weekly broadcasts from Atlanta on the second largest outlet in the city on WRNG. We're broadcasting from Puerto Rico, broadcasting from Richmond, Virginia, broadcasting the Good News program from Warner Robins and from Jessup, and from 13 stations, Atlanta, Savannah, and Beaufort. But what do we call it? Recession or depression or whatever it's caught up with us. And so we had to cut back, and we're now broadcasting on about 5 weekly stations and 1 daily station. The daily broadcast is called the His Word broadcast, and the weekly broadcast is known as the Good News program. Now remember, I'm relating all these things to you that you might be cognizant of what God is doing and be careful when you remember us to pray for these outlets. The people we're working among are people that you are well acquainted with. Unfortunately, very few people seem to know of some of the need in our communities. You can bypass our community and say, as so many people have said, those people are having a grand time, those people have their own religion. Now that's not too smart, because all men have their own religion. The people have their own religion in India. The people have their own religion in Africa. But we still send missionaries to them. That's not too bright an idea. Just because the people have their own religion, you leave them alone. Because, as I'm going to stress later, we have a serious commission to proclaim the gospel to every creature. And so, I want you to think of the people. And remember this. Because, you see, so many people don't seem to know this. And now all of this come out of my exploration. There has never been any really serious attempt to evangelize. the black people in this nation. Now, please don't misunderstand me. There are always people doing something. But what I call a serious attempt is a concerted effort on a large scale to reach people. That's what I'm talking about. I'll tell you something else. Pick up your magazines, Eternity, Moody, Letters of Interest, name them. And you'll see missions to the Indians, the people who rightly own this country, the real natives. You'll see mission to every segment. But have you found yet, apart from an ad that Tom Skinner inserted in Eternity a few years ago, anything about the need to evangelize the now, 1976 figures, 30 million people in this country? Have you seen any? I'll appreciate it if you let me know. Because I'm looking and still gathering information. If you know of anyone who's doing it on a large scale, apart from recent efforts that some black men are putting forward and some other men are putting forward in camps, I would certainly appreciate that information because I desperately need it. So get the picture. We have been liberated, as they say, from slavery. But no honest, serious attempt, such as you have in the Bahamas, where I was born, or in Africa, or in Jamaica, to present in an intelligent way the glorious, omnipotent, solemn gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ among our now 30 million black folks. They have been bruised. They have suffered injustice. You name it, and they've experienced it. But they're people. We sing a chorus with the children, red and yellow, black and white. They are precious in His sight. Now, remember I said this morning, if we're not just going to appropriate things, let's apply them. And beloved, if they are precious in His sight, then certainly we should do our bit in getting the word to them. Do you know of anything apart from the gospel that lifts sinful, sinning humanity? I know of nothing. I know of nothing but the gospel. And if we were not reached by the gospel, every one of us here might have been in prison tonight. No telling. Might have been in prison. But we've been lifted because we heard the gospel preach. And the gospel gave us hope. Because it presented a Savior who came into the world to save sinners. And we accepted it. So as you think of the people on your doorsteps, remember, my brothers and sisters, to God they are precious. And He gave His Son for them. Now the problem is this. It's difficult. It's difficult trying to convince even the American government that there is a need in America. If I wanted to come into this country from the Bahamas as a missionary, I just couldn't get a visa to do so. They laugh at you. See, that's the problem. In the highest seat, there is the skepticism, there is the doubt as to whether there is really a need. And so I have dubbed this people need as the most neglected in the world. And when I speak of the need, I speak of America's neglected people. They have been neglected. Neglected. Do you know that the federal government is giving them care from the cradle to the grave? Do you know that other foundations that you can term godless are giving them scholarship, are giving them help? But where are the team of compassionate, dedicated Christians who, as soldiers of the cross, are marching forward to invade Satan's stronghold and bring to these people the word of life? You have conferences. Now, I know Brother McNeil. I met him in Scotland. He's from Falkirk. And I used to preach at the hall at the city hall in Falkirk. I met him since then, 1947, 6. Before he came to school, before he was among the assemblies, I knew him. Now he's going to preach at a conference. How many conferences do black people in this country have where the word of God is presented and it isn't a matter of trifling? Where somebody goes to a conference, so-called, which is a denominational conference, nothing wrong with that, please don't misunderstand me, but invariably, if somebody goes to have somebody's wife and all that kind of junk. Now, I'm not saying it doesn't happen among white people, but at the same time, where do we have a conference ground like this, where men and women, young and old, can be exposed to the elevating, enlightening gospel of the grace of God? Where are you going to get ministry in the black community of such a caliber as Mr. McNeil? I'm going to present here in the next few weeks. And if the gospel is the only lifting power, then ministry in the Holy Spirit is the only salvation of lifting the people and putting them on a higher level, morally, spiritually, socially. I can't even hear a word. Thank you. And that's the need. The need is to minister to the elected people. Answer, look at this. Some people have said to me, can we work in the black community? I said, yes, if you want to. And God has given us the proof that it can be done. How many of you have heard of the world's most unusual university? Without naming the name, let me see if you know it by that title. The world's most unusual university. Good. Where is that? What's the name of the university? Bob Jones in Greenville, South Carolina. And that's a hard core of segregation and fundamentalism. They had men stationed there with guns. If black people came on the country to blow their heads off. And do you know we have men from Bob Jones working with us? Seriously, do you know that? Trained men, qualified men. In Augusta, Georgia, in Beaufort, South Carolina. The very first meeting we established in Beaufort, South Carolina. The present president of Bob Jones graduated the same time as Lee Laurie did. And Lee Laurie married the girl who was the assistant dean of women from Bob Jones University. And the white fellow who was at our place before he went into the chaplaincy, Paul Beverly, Monjoiner knows him. His wife is the graduate of Bob Jones University. The present brother who is there, he is from North Carolina, his wife is from North Carolina, and there, he graduated from Bob Jones University. And if folks from Bob Jones would work, I'm sure anyway. It's not a joke, but I want to get it across to you. Now, my question to people say, who ask, can we work there? And raise the question that we can, I have a question for you. How is it that you can work in Africa? How is it that you will send the cream of your crop from Moody to Africa, from Emmaus to Africa, from Western Trinity to Africa, from Bob Jones to Africa, from Wheaton to Africa? You name the schools, and you go to any of them, and they're training missionaries for Africa. Well, you know, we have inverted the Great Commission. The Great Commission has given an access to this. I want you to begin in Jerusalem. And then Judea, and then Samaria, and then to the uttermost parts of the earth. Now what we have done, we have gone to the uttermost parts of the earth, and we have left untouched millions on our doorstep without any language barrier. And to do evangelistic work, or pioneering work as I call it, among the assemblies in this country, you don't need to face any tropical disease. But you know, if you went to Africa and a few blacks accepted Christ, you can come home and be a missionary. I mean, You would be a missionary. I mean, a missionary. And that means a whole heap. Because when you're counted as a missionary, you're a hero. But if you went to work in the black community, you're a dirty communist. Now, I want you to think of this, and I like to speak plainly. Because we have such great rules, says Paul, we use great plainness of speech. Are you with me? You're listening, huh? Yeah. That's why I appreciate the opportunity, because, you see, I have no place to tell this story. And I appreciate your letting me come to tell you. And if you know of any place you would like to hear it, you tell me, ask them to invite me. But I'd rather speak to the elders first to let them know. I want to put a concern on their heart for the need on their doorsteps. And beloved, this is going to make heaven heaven. People that you have led to Jesus Christ are going to be in heaven. Well, if I stay there, I can stay all night. But you see what I'm driving at. It can be done. After all, it isn't the complexion that reaches people. It's the Holy Spirit who dwells in us. So don't hide behind the complexion and the culture and the custom and the geography. But we are from the south and we are from the north. Folks are folks no matter where they are. Why don't you say amen? Folks are just folks. Folks are just folks. And you can fight the Civil War all over again, but when you finish fighting, you're still folks. And the Bible says the heart of folks is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked, whether you're in Africa or in America. But ladies and gentlemen, all the more reason that God has given us a message for humanity. And we should be careful to communicate it in the power and energy of the Holy Spirit, that men will be lifted up and be made to experience a new walk while they're under heaven and among men. Isn't that wonderful? I'd rather be doing what I'm doing now than to be Jimmy Carter, who's going to be the next president of the United States. Okay, Republicans, I don't want you to get too excited. That's only my... You know, my prediction. But it don't have to be that way. All right. Just let me give you this, and I have to hurry because it's 5 past. And I'm going to let you on time. We talk about the people and the problem. And, of course, I can stay on the problem from now until next month. But I want to tell you of the plan which we have. And the plan we have in mind is to see in every major city of the South. Now, don't misunderstand me. I am not saying the need does not persist in the North. I spoke to a brother, or rather a brother spoke to me this morning as he was going out, and he made mention of the name B.M. Nadish, and I said to him, he married me. He did more than married me. He challenged me. And he had sufficient sense not to argue with me, because I was working in Canada. And I've seen any number of young people come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. We were really going to town, so to speak. And I came to visit him because my spiritual father said to me, if ever you go to Detroit, go and see B.M. Nottage. And he said to me, Mike, how is things going? And I said, oh, the Lord is blessing, man. I said, things are going great. And in his own inimitable way, he said, well, as you travel across the United States, I'd appreciate you're looking at the need among the black people. And that's all he said. That's all he said. A few years after, I married the young lady here from Detroit, Michigan. And then after marrying her on December 15th, and the 15th of this December is going to be 25 years since we were married, I was on my way back to the Bahamas because the government said you must get out of the country now, and I had to get out. December 15th, I was married. December 26th, the Lord spoke to me as I ministered the word at the Atlanta Bible, at the Carver Bible Institute in Atlanta, Georgia. And the promise given that day was from Genesis 28, I will give you this land. And for the first and the second time in my life, I felt as if God was in that room. And saying to me, this is for you today. And ever since that glorious day, I have been claiming this house.
I'm still doing it.
I believe he's going to give it to us. We see on the horizon God raising up men. And we believe he's going to do it. In 1967, I invited Tom Skinner to Savannah for 27 days. But the first time black and white people sat together in Savannah without putting one on this side and one on that side. And for 27 days, the news media splashed Tom's picture all over the screen. And one prominent woman said, I've never heard a man speak so honorably about Jesus Christ. And she said to the newscaster, please bring him back. Tom has been speaking to us every Memorial Day. We are having a conference in Savannah. That's our business. We want to expose people, but we don't have any place, so we have to go to the Savannah Inn. But God can give us some profit and give us the money too. And we're going to see established across this Southland testimonies like this, where people, now where we are working, we're not working with black people. You know what I mean? Black people are attending, but anybody can come where we are, because the gospel is for people. And we believe the Church of Jesus Christ, the Ecclesia, the called out, is not a church that's segregated nor integrated, but it's a church of people, blood-bought, blood-washed, and united by faith to Jesus Christ. Ecclesia, and we want to see a visible demonstration of this on earth before we get to heaven. Okay. And so right now, we have a building in Savannah. It's old YMCA building. This is the latest project. I'm going to tell it to you and then I'm going to close. I have to. But it's the latest project we have. A three-story brick building. Our plan for this building is to begin the remodeling on this Labor Day weekend, September 4th. It's going to cost us a whole heap of money. And by the way, our report should be in letters of interest in September. I think it's going to be in October because Mr. Starr said he thinks September may be crowded. So we're going to give it a good spread in the October issue. So as you read about it, I'm going to ask you to do me a favor. As you read about it, if the Holy Spirit leads you, write our name down from the article and communicate with us. Now, I don't know if that's the proper thing to do. If it isn't, Mr. Willie, you'll forgive me, won't you? If you're not supposed to do it, just don't do it. I'm telling you this. But if you want to communicate with us, and I'm asking the assembly here, as a group of committed men and women, will you please begin publicly and unashamedly to ask God to do something about the 30 million needed, neglected black people on your doorsteps? Will you please start doing that? Samuel says, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you. Well, the building is just a three-story building. We want to have on the first floor a bookstore. We want to have in the back a chapel. Now, the building is located between two large housing projects. A lot of people are around it. Right in the heart of downtown Savannah on West Broad Street. And then the rest of the first floor we want to use as a sort of light lunch counter. Now, all these things are used just as a means of attracting people to come right in up the street to sit down by the little table so we can share with them the gospel. On the second floor, we're going to keep that as a sort of dormitory. It's dormitory now, but I want a place for the board to meet as well as a counseling center. Now, I had no idea that the marriage or family life was in such trouble until 4 years ago when I began the daily broadcast. And black and white families call, and through the little telephone which gives me invisibility, many of them pour out their hearts to me. And we're asking God to raise up and give us a good man who is saved, consecrated, to counsel the need of families. Our families in this country if you didn't know, is in trouble. For the first time, divorce has gone beyond the 1 million mark. That's the report. We're in trouble. I say we're in trouble. On the third floor, we'd like to see a printing press and a broadcasting studio. And everything I said is going to cost money. But the prayer, the believing prayer of God's people can do wonders. You want me to quote James 5:16, do you? The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man releases power. Well, I trust you have a bird's eye view of some of the things and some of the needs. And I'll appreciate it immensely if you would share with others what I've shared with you and pray for us. I'm not the only worker. Now, I told you, I was the only one in 1955. Since then, Brother Dennis has retired. Of course, he doesn't get beyond Charleston, but he's carrying a good work at Grace Bible Camp. You may have seen the report and letters of interest. John Moore was teaching school in Atlanta. He is now retired because of a heart condition. But the sad thing about all the workers that I can name, most of them are from Jamaica or Bahamas, plus all of them are old men. They're not 25. They're like me and older, 50-ish, hitting 60. And for pioneering work, you need young men. Now, it's nice to have the old men to serve as Paul, to give the young Timothy's direction. But brothers, pray that God would raise up some young men. Young men. And I'm praying about it. My prayer is that God would raise up some godly men, some gifted men, some gracious men who will stand to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. All right. Let me see if I can give you a radio message in the next 15 minutes. Now, the passage we read tonight is from Romans 5. And the Apostle Paul is saying something here that I believe, if we were to sit down and mull over it, it'll reach us and do something for us. He made this statement here. He says, verse 7, "For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet peradventure for a good man, some would even dare to die. But God, beloved," let's get this, "for a righteous man, one will die. Peradventure for a good man, some would even dare to die. But God, the Holy God, commended, demonstrated, manifested his love toward us." Not good people. Not righteous people. But bad folks. God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ for the ungodly. What a statement. God commending his love for the riffraff of humanity. God commending his infinite love for the worst of humanity. Do you believe this statement? For a good man, some would dare to die. For a righteous man, somebody may think about it. But God, for good and righteous people, commended his own love. But let me remind you, you know the gospel, but let me remind you of some statement in Romans 3. There is none that understand it. There is none that seek it after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are all together become unprofitable. There is none that do it good. No, not one.
None. And yet, a God who is holy and cannot look with favor on sin would demonstrate to us how much he loved us by the giving of his own dear son. Isn't that wonderful? Think of it. Christ died for us. And we like to stress that. Christ died. He didn't swoon, as some people erroneously teach. Jesus Christ died, and Jesus Christ was buried, and Jesus Christ was raised up. And now that he is raised, he is seated on the right hand of power, a prince and a savior, able to save all who will come unto God by him. What a wonderful savior. What a wonderful salvation. And God did that. You deserve it? No. I deserve it? No. Who deserves it? Nobody. But what is this? Grace. 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 What is grace? Grace is God's undeserved favor to undeserving rascals. Well, people boast of who they are. Don't you believe it? You know, I came from in the Bahamas. We have people, their fathers may be white or some of that, and they got a little complexion in the boat, but they got blue blood. And after I came from Scotland, I just said to someone very graciously, not in any way to hurt them, I said, you know, I'm amazed that we are always talking about what we were. I said, did you ever read Ephesians 2 or Romans 1 or Romans 3? Or have you ever heard Isaiah said, saying long before Jesus Christ came? Have you heard him? All. How many? Oh. There's a fellow used to preach at the 10th Hall in Scotland by the name of Jack Troop. You know Jack? And whenever Jack preached about Romans 3, he says, oh. All of them, who did they leave out? Folks, let's face it. We were bad. And the gospel is calculated to meet the needs of bad people. And you know why? Because there ain't no good one. We just read it. Don't you like that? There's no good one. But God in Jesus Christ came down, picked us up from the miry clay, set our feet upon a rock, established our going, put a new song in our mouth, even praise unto our God. And now, beloved, we are the sons of God, even though it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know when we shall see him, we shall be like him. And John says, what kind of love is that? Infinite love. Unfathomable love. And this is the love that's been shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. Now, beloved, with all this love at our disposal, can we not get the message that God wants us to go out and let men know who he is? You see, God has no way of making known to godless men who he is apart from through us. And to quote my friend B.M. Nottage again, he said to me one day, Michael, God is having no problem with the world. He's only having a problem with his children. If his children straighten up today, the world will have revival tomorrow. Think it through. There may be more than that than you think. If God could get us start loving, you brethren, you know what it is to love? I don't mean I love you because you live in Palm Springs. I don't mean I love you because you attend Palm Springs Bible Center. I don't mean I love you because we all make $500,000 a year. I don't mean I love you because we're all, our ancestry came from Scotland or Britain or from Timbuktu. No. That's the way we talk about love. We say, I love you if you like, if you, if you are like so-and-so. I love you if you do so-and-so. God loves us. I love you in spite of. True. If God had to love us because of who we were or what we were, we'd be in hell right now. But he commended his love. Can you see him? The Holy One came and he came to die. And they came in the garden and they arrested him. And there he went up the hill with a cross. And a poet caught it and he said, "Beneath an eastern sky, amid the rebel cry, went forth a man to die for you, for me. Blood-stained was his steps, cross-laden he was led to Calvary to die for you, for me." Does God really love you? Does God really love you? Well, what do we have to give God? Nothing. He takes our sins away. He nailed them to the cross of his Son. And he comes out in love and he says, "Now, I'm going to give you eternal life. I'm going to give you my life, the life of the ages, and you'll never perish." Is that love? I say, is that love? Yes, that's love. Boundless love. Does anyone else, did you know that love you like that? What did God do? Commended his love. And he allowed his Son to die for us the death of a common criminal. Because the death he died was reserved only for common criminals. For a good man, some may die. A righteous man, one may dare to die. But God commended his love. While we were sinners, Christ died for us. That's beyond me. I confess, that's fantastic. Well, let's turn to Acts 17. God commended his love, and there can be no guessing or speculation about it. The cross is a historical fact. And Jesus Christ there brought reconciliation between God and man, and man and man. That's a fact. Now I want you to look at verses 30 and 31. "And the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. Because he had appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he had given assurance unto all men in that he had raised him from the dead." You know, the resurrection is an important part of our doctrine. If Christ is not raised, you might as well close this place and turn into a nightclub. If Christ be not raised. If Christ isn't risen, all his claims are fabrication. But if he is raised, then he is declared to be the Son of God with power. And he is raised. But beloved, if God commended his love in the first place to us sinners, now God is commanding all men everywhere to repent. And when we talk about repentance, we're not talking about just feeling sorry for sin and you shed a few crocodile tears. We are talking about seeing what your sin did to the Christ of God. We want you to know that he was crucified because of your sin and mine. God laid on him your iniquity and mine, and by his stripes we are healed. Never mind what men say about the substitutionary death of Jesus Christ. It was essential. It was vital. It's a foundational fact.
We are here. We are joint heirs with God. We are joint heirs with God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Because of Jesus Christ. And the king is now commanding his rebellious subjects to repent. Why? Because judgment is inevitable. And a man who is going to judge us isn't the Supreme Court judge of the United States. It's Jesus Christ. Now you can get your Philadelphia lawyer for anything you do in the United States and get by. But let me tell you one thing. You ain't gonna get by Jesus Christ. Now you better settle this issue. If you have not responded to the love of God in Jesus Christ, if you thought to trample under God's great love and hear him say, why to me this waste of love my advocate asks? Why is it? Why is God wasting his love on us? Because he is now commanding you to repent. And if you do not repent, judgment is inevitable. And if you don't believe in hell, you don't have to. But it's there, yawning, alive, and in hell. Cry will be forever, the harvest is past. The summer is ended, and I'm not saved, and you're not saved, because you did not respond to the love of God. You know what happened when Paul preached the resurrection? There was three different reactions, three responses. There were those who laughed. They mocked. There were those who procrastinated. But bless God, there were those who believed. And as I close with this word. God commending his love towards you if you're a sinner here tonight. And that's what we all were before we were saved. And if we are saved, if we have repented, and if we know that our judgment for sin has taken place at Calvary, let also keep before us that the sins we commit from day to day, they are going to be at the bema, at the judgment seat of Christ. And so we need to walk carefully. We need to walk circumspectly. We need to remember that we are lights in the Lord and lights in the world. And our lights are supposed to shine before men. And they will see our good works and so glorify our Father which is in heaven. He commended his love toward us sinners. He commanded sinners to repent. But he is also commissioning and commanding those of us who have repented to go into all the world. Matthew 28. All power. Do you have power to preach to black people? Yes. White people? Yes. And the complexion makes no difference. Because the power in you is the Holy Spirit. And he's commissioning us. He is commanding us to go into all the world and make disciples of all men. What a program. Teaching them. Not only to remember the Lord. That's a wonderful thing. But there are other things we need to learn to know. We need to learn to love one another. We need to learn to forgive one another. The Bible says, and be tender-hearted and kind, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. And so many things we need to learn. But beloved, if we do not get out the gospel to every creature, then we are walking in disobedience to our great commander's final marching orders. Go! Not some parts of the world. All of us. May God enable us. Because of being a part of such a great family, may God enable us to walk, not as other Gentiles walk, but to walk in love and to walk as men. qualified to be entrusted with the gospel. Brother Willie.
We've heard a wonderful message tonight. I feel God has spoken to us. He's spoken to my heart, anyhow. And I think in these closing moments, we should weigh things up before the Lord. If there should be one here that has not yet repented and obeyed that command, God has commanded all men everywhere to repent. Why not now in these closing moments? As we pray, why not give in and accept the Lord Jesus as Savior? And if you don't know just how to do this, I'm sure our brother would love to sit down and help you. So would I love to sit down and help you, and from the Word of God show you. And there are others of us here tonight who show you how to be saved if you're not saved. Never mind how long you've been, how old you are, or how long you've been thinking you're saved. Let's face it tonight, we must be born again. And then I believe God's challenged my heart tonight. We've talked so much about Park of Palms being the center, and we want it to be like the center of a wheel with the spokes going out in all directions. We want to send the gospel out from Park of the Palms. We've been saying this ever since we came here. And thank God for all of our number. Our brother Woodhouse has been speaking all this week up in New Jersey. And let's remember him in prayer. He's flying back tonight. Our brother Gawley, I don't know whether he's away preaching tonight. He's not here, but he's usually away somewhere. We're getting out with the gospel. Thank God for that. But we need to do more. And I think that I'm praying, and I have been, that Park of the Palms will be a great center. That we might go out, take the gospel out. I'm thinking of the whole of northern Florida. The panhandle, right across the Pensacola. We like to see what we call an assembly. There's no assemblies all the way through that area. We ought to be out getting something established and something done for God and for His glory. Shall we pray? Blessed God, our Father, we thank Thee for our brother. We thank Thee for calling him and saving him long ago in the Bahamas and bringing him to this country and using him. We thank Thee for the 21 years they worked in Georgia. And we thank Thee for souls that have been saved and the witnesses established up there for Thy glory. We pray Thou lead them on. We lay at Thy feet this project, the conversion of this YMCA home and the making of it into a center for God and for the gospel in the city of Savannah. We thank Thee, Lord, the gospel is for, as we have been saying, red and yellow, black and white, is for all men. And there is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And we thank Thee, Lord, that the gospel, the Lord Jesus, can save to the uttermost those that come unto God by Him. So we pray Thou use our brother and sister and their son and daughter as they go back to their service for Thee, and we pray, Lord, we might hear great results of things Thou art doing. We feel the time is short, and what we do, we've got to do now. Help us here at Park of the Palms be men and women of earnest, urgent prayer, holding up. Some of us, Lord, we can't talk of going out at 25 years of age, because that's long, long ago, but all of us can pray. We ask, Lord, Thou help us to do this for Thy glory. We pray for the sisters' meeting on Tuesday morning. Grant that our sisters might rally around and come and listen to our sister, Mrs. Flowers, as she brings the message on Tuesday morning, if the Lord be not come. So, Lord, we commend this day, a wonderful Lord's Day, to Thee, the message of the morning, the challenge of the morning. Whom do ye say that I am? We thank Thee for that challenge. We thank Thee for the challenge of tonight. And now in these closing moments, we bow before Thee, blessed Lord, and we submit our lives to Thee. We commit us to Thee once more for what is left of life, that we might use it for Thy glory. We thank thee for all that's passed and all that we've been able to do in the Savior's name. But we ask, Lord, that the days that lie ahead till the Lord comes might be brighter than any others as we seek to serve thee. So, Lord, help us to love one another. Help us to stop talking about one another. Help us to encourage one another. Help us to pray for one another. And help us to go forward hand in hand for the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. We thank thee again for this day, and we seek thy parting blessing. In the precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.